Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. Don't forget that you can listen to Mike live on Sundays from 8 to 10 a.m. on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Less than a minute now.
Tool time for 200.
This term for a long-handled gardening tool can also mean an immoral pleasure seeker. Ken.
What's a hoe?
No. Whoa. 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 They teach you that in school in Utah, huh? Al.
What's a rake?
A rake is right. You select, Al.
400, please.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Now here's the man who's greening your world one kilohertz at a time, Mike Novak.
And by EcoLawn, which is back on the show this week and for the next few weeks, because this is a time of year that you want to start putting in a lawn. The fall is always the best time to do that. And so EcoLawn is also one of our great sponsors and back this year. And, of course, I don't have that in the actual recorded billboard because we're heatherless. We are heatherless again today. Heather is up in the Great North Woods. And I see that the plants in... slide that mic around to Leah Petrusiak, who is producer du jour. And I have to apologize to you last week.
Again?
Again. Yeah, again. I don't know. It's just something every week. Last week, you did yeoman's work filling in for Heather Fry. And at one point in the second hour of the show, we had the Tour de Trees people in here. We were like 700 people right in this little room. And not only did Leah not have a microphone, she didn't even have a chair. And she was... I can't even put this delicately. She was on her knees and typing into the computer there were not even enough chairs here. So
squats in for the week.
And then I didn't even say thanks for filling in, Leah. It's like goodbye, gotta go.
See ya.
So thank you.
It was so funny. I'm reading the Secret Life of Bees, which is an amazing, amazing book, but her dad punishes her by making her kneel on grits and the kitchen floor, and I was reading that.
Grits?
Yeah, and it just kind of gets
isn't
in your...
Isn't it ushy?
No, like it's that hard, grainy stuff.
Oh, you mean before they fix them?
Before they fix them.
Oh, I was thinking like...
Woo!
And then when you're done, you have to eat them for breakfast.
Yeah. Right.
No.
Scabs and all.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you,
but
Leah.
I have a chair this week, though.
That's good. Not for long.
No, right.
You don't know how long that's going to last.
Should have
here.
Sent me a text message to bring my knee pads.
And we are up. We're on. We're tweeting. We're on Facebook. You can always find us there. If you missed the show, or you want your friends to listen, hey, send them a link to the podcast, MikeNovak.net, MikeNovak.net. And go to the podcast page, and you can catch any part of the show that you missed, or you can skip over the parts you don't like.
Yep.
You can do whatever you want. On the program today, it's social media all the time. All social media all the time. That's our new format, by the way. all social. You know, they used to have all time. Well, you know, all talk all the time, all sports all the time. I came up with this concept for a radio show, a radio station, a few years ago. All time, all the time, and you would just tune in. And it'd be, it's now 8:24. It's 8:24 and 20 seconds.
It's 21 seconds.
Whatever. But in studio, now you're going to have to slide the mic over. That's as nice as I'm going to be to you all day, Leah.
All right. Thank you.
In the second hour, you get it because our guests are on the phone there. And let me start with the second hour. Garden Rant. It's in two words, Garden Rant. And if you don't know the Garden Rant people, you need to, especially if you're even if you're not a gardener. They're funny, they're edgy, and they're on a website called GardenRant.com, and three out of the four Garden Ranters will be on the program. They're coming into Chicago this week for the IGC show, which is the Independent Garden Centers show. Now, a lot of you out there probably wouldn't be that interested, but you might be, to come down to Navy Pier and see what the independent garden centers are doing and how they're strategizing about the future. Because as I always say on the show, if you want quality products, if you want advice, you go to your independent garden center. You don't go to the box store. You get bupkis at the box store. Even if you think you're saving money in the long run, you're probably not. Because you don't learn anything, they don't have the quality of the products, they don't have the variety of the products. You know, when it comes to gardening, now if you want a widget, if you want a bolt, yeah, go to the box stores. You know, you can do that. But that's my rant. That's one of my rants to start. Anyway, second hour garden rant. We will rant. If you have something you want to rant about that's happening in your garden, please do. Just go. Now I'm not. You might, I'm going to say you can ask a question during that time, but there better be a rant involved, all right? You don't get to just ask a question. First hour, however, more social media, and those people are right here in the studio, and they are Tom Finnerty and Lisa Marini Finnerty, and they have come up with a website called Your Garden Show. It's .com. www.yourgardenshow.com. And here's the deal. It's basically, you want to be famous, you want to show people how wonderful your garden is, you go to this website and you sign in. Now, I went there yesterday and I signed in. And you start asking me all these questions. I can't even go to the next page. Oh, you have to fill in that screen. No, I don't want to fill in that screen. I'm just visiting. I'm very protective of my garden. I know a lot of people out there want to show off their gardens, and they can do this on your website. They go there, you sign in, then you can post pictures. You will create a slideshow for them. You will post their videos online. Mm-hmm. You will even do these tags, which people might be familiar with from Facebook, where you tag somebody's name. But on your website, you can tag plants in people's gardens. Mm-hmm. It's really awesome and quite interactive. We have the architects of that in studio. Tom, and I have to say, we're walking in today. Tom and Lisa are here. And I can't even get past our garden in the back without Lisa dragging out a video cam and taping me. And I went on for about an hour and a half about the garden in the back and our earth boxes. And what?
And your harvest.
And my harvest, which, yes. My blossom end rot pepper here, which I didn't say on camera because I'm not going to do that. It's got a little bit, but you can always cut that off. We've had issues with blossom end rot this year, and I think it's because of the heat and the humidity, and we've talked about that before. So, Lisa, let's start with you. So you're dragging a camera around everywhere you go just
Thank
in case
you,
a garden?
Yes. Well, there is always something to take a picture of. Everything tells a story in a garden. And every day is a before, and every day is an after. So we can, even 2 days running tells a lot.
What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, the thing is, you know, one day you have a blossom, and the next day you have a
blossom end rot. No, or the blossom's on the ground, and it didn't get pollinated.
And therein lies the drama.
There's lots of drama in the garden.
In a landscape.
Right.
Yeah.
And I've been to your website. And by the way, you can log on either by going to my website, mikenovak.net, and go to this week's show. Or you can go straight to www.yourgardenshow.com. And a bunch of pictures are right up there. And if you click on them, you're going to be taken to you're transported right into people's gardens. Right, Tom?
That's the whole idea. The whole idea was to make the actual garden gate virtual. So you can be transported from Italy in one garden to Peoria in another garden. And there are all different types of gardens. We've been visited so far by 110 countries. And it's just been extraordinary, the response of people that want to share their garden and create this online community. It's been fun. It's so fun and rewarding to see these people coming back and talking and, you know, getting to know each other, asking questions, learning from each other.
So, and there's a picture right on the homepage that I'm looking at that Leah just pulled up of an allium that used to be called Bulgaricum, but it's not called that anymore, and I can't remember. You know, I learn it once. You can't change the name on me because I'm not going to remember what the new name is, but that's one of my favorite. Look at this one. It's this one, Tom, right there.
Yeah.
Isn't that a beautiful allium?
Well, taxonomy is a living science. That's why we went to to Missouri Botanical Garden to get our database, because they are on the forefront of naming plants.
Mobot.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, everybody in the horticultural world knows the term Mobot.
It's such a cool word, too.
It is great.
Yeah, yeah.
Not everybody gets to use the word Mobot. And if
don't
you go,
touch my Mobot.
Don't touch my Mobot. This is
Mobot
a fit.
That's
right. I am Locutus. I am Mobot.
So there are common names. There are scientific names. There are old and new scientific names. So it's one plant can have four names on this site, but it's clearly delineated, so you can kind of reference back and forth,
that's
which no other sites
really
do.
Really good point, because mm-hmm. you do the tag thing. What if they get it wrong and they're tagging their plants and they think they have one thing, but it's really another, because you have the database and it can't really correct something if somebody's typed it in wrong, right?
Well, happily, the users are not shy about voicing their opinions about whether or not in their opinion you've gotten it right. In fact, when in the video that I did to explain how to use photo...
I actually watched that video the other day.
Right,
yeah.
to explain photo tagging. Somebody wrote me and said, you're wrong. And the plant
about
you used...
What?
And she said, that's not... You don't have the right tag. And I had the right parent species.
Uh-huh.
And so we had a little online discussion. She finally realized that, in fact, it was a... the one that I had tagged.
Yeah.
Which you can't even remember, right?
Helleborus niger.
Yeah, sure.
Abercrombie and Fitch.
And by the way, you cannot say the words Helleborus on this program. It's Sunday morning. There are people in church or on their way to church, which we've learned. By the way, it's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. In the studio, I have Tom Finnerty and Lisa Marini Finnerty. They are with yourgardenshow.com. And if you haven't heard of it, it's because you guys are pretty new, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How long
have
you been up?
About 3 months. We've been working on it for a
couple years.
Well, yeah, then planning a couple of years, research, vetting. And then we started to literally
assembling an all-star staff. I linked to that on my page because I was just so impressed with the quality of the people you had there. Not mm-hmm. all of them gardeners. A lot of them media people.
Right.
Marketing. Whatever. You guys wanted to do this right.
Yeah. Well, when we wanted to start, you know, beginnings are important. So we wanted to surround ourselves with people that are at the top of their game, so that we make this, you know, at the bottom line, we really want to make a relevant web experience for gardeners, a place that they can trust and a place that they can feel is a real, you know, it really is a resource. Not only is it fun, let's face it, because you get to show off your garden, thus the name show. But then once you get past that, as you said, we've got Missouri Botanical. We've also got Cornell University's vegetable database of 70 crops, but almost 6,000 varietals, 800 types of tomatoes alone in the database.
And I'm growing 729 of those in my garden right now.
Yeah. We're going to grow out some of them next year on our farm.
Did you coin the term glog?
Yes.
Oh, there we go. Thank you for bringing that up, Leah.
Yeah.
One of the things they have is something called glog. And I always thought that was a drink you get up in Andersonville in the winter. You have some glog while you're doing your shopping there. But what's a glog?
Garden log.
Ooh.
As opposed to web blog, which web log, which becomes a blog. You know, many people have bloggers. Let's face it. We have gloggers. So that was the idea was, you know, but glog is a one of the other programs on the site, and it is your garden over time. You could input when did I weed it, water it, mulch it, amend the soil, what pest did I observe.
You know, that's a really great tool because when you get into gardening, one of the first things the books tell you is keep a log.
And I
roll my eyes. Yeah, like that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Okay. But if it's ready there online where you can just dash in and write a couple of things and then come back and not lose the book, and come back to your own site, that's a valuable tool. And it probably helps other people in the area. So you say, hey, on April 14th, this plant finally poked out of the ground or bloomed or something. Somebody else can take a look at it and compare.
And think of the value for carrots. Those root crops, when if you pull them out a little early, if you try and harvest a little early, you're out of luck. But imagine if you take a picture of the carrot packet, 65 days, it goes onto your computer. 65 days later, there's an alert. You can go out there, pull the carrot up, and
I hadn't thought about that, taking a picture of the packet. Hey, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a picture of all these different packets. That will be my garden. And I'll put that garden up there. Actually, we'll get to this in a second. I got to make some money for, not for the company, but for me. It is my company. What I want to do is talk about the whole idea of being an exhibitionist online, even if it's just with your garden. And what you've discovered with that. But meanwhile, those of you who are listening online or tweeting, especially, if you get a chance, go to the website right now, and I want to know what you think, and send me a tweet. And let me know maybe if you've done this before or you're just discovering it. We'll get the live on the radio, find out what people are thinking of the site. The site is www.yourgardenshow.com, and you'll know it because there's a little bee there, the cute little bee with Your Garden Show, and then a bunch of pictures, great photos, and you can click on and see various gardens. And we'll do that right after this. Now, for more than 2 years, I've been telling you about Back to Nature Cotton Burr Compost. It's a little different from other composts you might have used before, and here's why. Cotton burrs have been prized as a soil conditioner in the southern United States for more than 150 years. Cotton is a heavy feeder that drains the soil of nutrients as it grows. The nutrients eventually wind up in the fleshy seed pod, the boll or burr of the cotton plant. Then it's properly composted to eliminate weeds, insects, and pathogens. The result is a product that provides a rich food source for beneficial soil organisms. Perhaps even more impressive is that it helps break up clay soils and improves fertility in sandy soils and, unlike wood and wood-based compost, will not tie up nutrients in the soil. Pick up a bag of Back to Nature Cotton Burr Compost at your local independent lawn and garden dealer. Where did I hear local independent before? You can find Back to Nature products at Alsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort and St. John, Indiana, Meinke Nursery in Niles, and Burlington Garden Center in Burlington, Wisconsin. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, look who's back. Yep. Eco Lawn. It's time to work on your lawn, especially if the weather cools off a little bit, and we'll find out about that from Rick DeMaio in just a few minutes. Starting right now is absolutely the best time to put a new lawn in or fix an unhappy one. This time, however, change your plants. Plant a lawn that will become lush and green, doesn't need to be fertilized, and once established, will rarely need water. You know what I'm talking about. EcoLawn. It's a blend of seven fine fescues that is what I call envirological. You can find EcoLawn at Lake Street Landscape Supply in Chicago, 1810 West Lake Street, or visit EcoLawn.com, EcoLawn.com. Tom wanted to know if this is me. I wish. No, it's Lyle Lovett, who I saw perform the other week at the Morton Arboretum. It was just an excellent, excellent concert. This is the Mike Novak Show on WCPT. We're on a whole bunch of frequencies, including 820 AM and 99.9 FM, 92.5 and 92.7 FM. I have Tom and Lisa. Do we always have to use Marini in the middle of that, Lisa?
Well, that's how that's my name.
That's my name. Don't just wear it out.
Just say yes, baby.
And they are the creators of yourgardenshow.com. Let's talk about that, what I mentioned before. I signed in, and you guys are already saying, send me your pictures of your garden. And I'm kind of private about that. I kind of protect. And I'm also, you know, I know that there are better gardeners out there than I. And I know there are worse. But sometimes I think, wow, you know, somebody's going to look at that and think, doesn't that guy ever weed? But I've looked on your website, and you get all types. People who are proud of their, you know, 2 square feet of dirt. And
that's been one of the great, that's actually one of the more rewarding aspects of it, is that we really do get a diverse sampling of gardens, really from all over the world, and from people of all levels and all, you know, knowledge-based levels of gardening. And one of the things that we found, which was really interesting in the early stages, UI, they call it, in San Francisco, where we built this thing, where we've learned all kinds of cool terms.
Wait, what's UI?
User interface, please.
Ooh.
Yeah. Or if you want to be really cool, you can also say UX, which is user experience.
Wait a second. All right. Somebody's making money on that. All right, go on.
Anyway, one of the things that we found, because I had always, when we had originally conceived the project, thought about it being for gardeners, and that would be gardeners face forward, public face forward. And then all the research that we did, making sure that when we interviewed a swath of gardeners, a sample swath of gardeners from, you know, all different skill levels, we found that they said, well, cool, I want to talk about my garden, but I don't want to talk about me. So I don't want to talk about me. My garden, I'll talk about that all day. So that's why we decided strategically to put the gardens face forward for a comfort to people. And when people come to the site, they will see that there are all levels of gardens on there. And we want everything from grand gardens to, like you said, the little humble vegetable patch, because it's holy. A garden is holy. It's fellowship, I think. When you go and you see when you really see a garden and you walk in there, it's somebody's, I don't know if you want to call it art, but it's certainly from their soul. And it's a great way that people express themselves, and it can be anything from high-level landscaping to, like you said, just a few, you know, a couple of, you know, planters with some tomatoes.
And by the same token, I see that some people will put 3 photos up there, and others will put 300.
Right.
Maybe not quite that many, but, you know, you'll 30 or 40.
Yeah, yeah, sure. No, it's great when you really – because, you know, like Lisa said earlier, every garden tells a story, and there's a narrative to all these gardens. One of the gardens recently, this guy's growing out heirloom tomatoes, and he said that last year that was not possible, but his neighbor's tree died next door, and what was the shadiest spot in his yard all of a sudden was this brilliant patch of sunshine that he seized, and now is growing out all these tomatoes. And so it's really great to see all of these things, and when you look into these pictures, you really get a glimpse into their heart, I think, and it's satisfying, and it's great to be a part. It's great to to provide that. I'm, you know, we're really thankful, you know, quite frankly, to have this opportunity to do this.
We getting, Leah, any, fire that one off.
I tried about 20 times.
Oh, it won't fire? What, is it, has the thing frozen on us?
No, it's just Twitter. Something's wrong, so I just did it on my phone. So hopefully we'll get some peeps in here.
Okay, so Twitter, just when we need Twitter.
Yeah, I know.
It's misbehaving. So it,
social media.
It just, yeah, sass. So much for your social media.
It's not the internet. It's just Twitter.
In the words of...
We don't like to hear that because the site was built with we hire the developers of Twitter, so we really want to be able.
Where's your social media now?
Where's my phone?
This should scale. It should work all the time.
So that's not even, you can't even click on the tweet thing and it won't go.
I tried about 20. Something is.
It says something is technically wrong. Please try again in a moment.
But stuff's coming up. I don't know. I just tweeted on my.
So we're not going to get our. Our answers.
Our tweets?
Let's see. Let's scroll down there and see if we got any. And by the way, I've got the answer. I'm glad you threw that up on. Didn't throw up, but put that up on the screen. The article on milkweed bugs. I got a thing from the Morton Arboretum this week about milkweed bugs. Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to digress, but this is a gardening show sometimes. Not often. We don't often get there, but basically milkweed bugs, they don't do enough damage for you to even care, to even worry about them. So if you have milkweed bugs, at least according to the Morton Arboretum, and they are kind of a, they ain't Mobot. Well, it's just because they don't have that Mobot name.
Well, they've got a fantastic collection of trees, and they've mapped their trees this year, which is it's an astonishing project.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find the tree that you gave in legacy to your grandmother on the
Morton
on the Morton Arboretum.
Yeah, Morton.
Grounds.
See, you start saying the word Mobot, and it just gets in your head. The Morton Arboretum is a great place, and. When folks are trying to plant trees and shrubs and select them, I go to the Morton Arboretum mm-hmm. site and look at their list. Our Little Acre tweets, I've met the creators and they're fabulous people. I've not gotten active on the site yet, but I love the idea. So, hey, they like you.
Cool.
Do you know who that is? Do you know the handle?
What was the handle?
Our Little Acre.
No.
See, now you have to go look that up when you get out of here.
That's the beauty
part
of social
of the fan
media.
Club. Well, we're a mutual. It's a mutual fan club. And Mike, to your point, if we believe that gardens are valuable for everyone. We want more and more gardens because the more gardeners, the better gardeners, the stronger and healthier the communities. So if you're a good gardener. The air is healthy, the water's healthier, and so we're trying to grow this gardening footprint. If you don't want to be so public about your garden, you can make your garden private on the site. So you can keep the log and you can keep the...
I noticed that, and that's what I clicked on mine because, A, I didn't download or upload any pictures, but I had to do it to log in. So you trap people into that. That's what you do.
Well, and the thing is, you can use that you can use the tools without being so public about
it,
and I think that's people should some people respond to that, and some people want to have a public legacy showing face forward.
That's Lisa Marini Finnerty, because that's her real name, and Tom Finnerty is here in the studio. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. What kind of schedule you guys on? Did you need to get over to Paco's Tacos for breakfast real quick?
No, we stopped at the Scottish place down the street.
The Scottish? There ain't no Scottish places on this block. Can you stick around for a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
We're going to do some weather and some other stuff, and we will maybe we'll talk a little bit about IGC as well.
Yeah, great.
I didn't ask you what you're doing in town, and I know you're doing a bunch of stuff, so we will be back with them. Now, here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Damage and destruction caused by insects and diseases can severely limit the ability of trees and shrubs in your landscape to manufacture the sugars and substances needed to remain healthy. As a tree's health suffers and declines, the odds for defoliation and death sharply increase. Trees that are already in poor health are more susceptible to insects and diseases, so a tree in general good condition will be less likely to be victimized. A certified arborist from the Care of Trees can evaluate your trees to identify any damage or signs of early disease and explain options available for managing the health of your trees. Basically, what we're saying is, if you got any questions, bring the Care of Trees out to look at your trees. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard or you're changing your landscaping, invite the certified arborist, and that's the key, certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220, 847-394-4220, the Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees.
Hey gardeners, want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantini's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie, too. Cantini has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shop, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantini.org.
We call these the dog days of August, but there's no reason for your garden to have that hangdog look, especially if you pick up a copy of the July-August Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, your best source for Zone 5 gardening. One plant that looks good all season is heuchera, or heuchera, depending on your plant dictionary, or you could just call them coral bells. Regardless, there are hundreds of varieties. They do well in shade, and Chicagoland Gardening tells you how to have success with this popular plant. And would you know what to do? It's funny, you were just talking about this, Tom. Would you know what to do if you lost your favorite tree and your shade garden was suddenly in the middle of blazing sun? Well, you could grow heirloom tomatoes. But there's a story in Chicagoland Gardening Magazine about how to adapt. And then there's my column on the inside back page. It's like sprinkles on the ice cream cone. I'd like to think of it that way. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine is on newsstands all over the area, but I advise you to subscribe to it and have it delivered to your home. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600. You're listening to the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. At this time, as always, you know, a few minutes late, I go to Rick DeMaio. Oh, I got to punch the button here. Now I go to Rick DeMaio. How you doing, Rick?
I'm doing fine, Mike.
Okay. I got a bone to pick with you.
That was a joke on pushing a button there. You missed that.
Oh, wow. It just went right by me. See,
okay.
He's way too quick for me.
Yeah.
Especially at 8:30 in the morning, 8:36, whatever.
Oh, come on.
The bone I have to pick with you,
yeah, go ahead,
is you don't know this. You got to go to my website, MikeNovak.net. On the homepage, there is a slideshow.
Okay.
Of what I was doing this week with Ron Cowgill, okay. And I know Ron's driving in right now, and he's listening to this. And
the backyard makeover.
We did the backyard makeover. Okay,
I'm looking at those pictures right now.
Yeah. That. Okay. Tuesday. Now Ron's been there for almost 2 weeks.
Right.
Solid. Mm-hmm. We're gonna have a little chat with the powers that be here at the station about this at some point. I was there for 3 days, starting Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. As I recall, pretty much the nastiest days of the year. Friday was one of the nastiest days of the year here in Chicago as well.
I think Friday was actually worse.
Oh, thanks a lot, pal. I was out. You weren't out there shoveling clay. and digging in clay for 3 days in 90-degree and 90-plus degree.
There's a reason for that.
And that is?
I didn't agree to do it.
I didn't exactly agree to do this either. It just happened. And you can see that if you look at the dark part of my shirt there, that's sweat. That's
good.
You know, it's one of those days where I was working for 3 days. We were slamming in plants, putting down compost and mulch, and you folks in Bolingbrook and out that way, you don't have soil there.
No.
That's just clay. There's nothing there. There's rocks. There's clay.
That's what it looks like.
I mean, it's like you dig down in the dirt there. Oh, and landscape fabric. I'm going to do a rant on landscape fabric. What a stupid waste of money and time to put down landscape fabric, because every time I dug into the ground, I was coming across landscape fabric that I had to rip out.
Oh, is that kind of black, kind of papery kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's awful.
It's nasty.
Yeah.
And there's no reason, I'm telling you, gardeners, there's no reason to use it. And if you do, you're making money for some scam artist, okay? That's what you're doing if you buy landscape fabric. So 3 days of this stuff. I think I lost about 20 pounds, though, so I'm as healthy as I've been in a long time.
That's good.
Oh, I can't tell you. It was nasty. And I think on Ron's show, I'm hoping at the beginning of Mighty House at 10 o'clock today, he and I can sit around and commiserate a little bit about this. But if you're interested in what the makeover is looking like, go to MikeNovak.net. On the homepage, we've got the slideshow up, and it's kind of interesting. So I want to thank you, Rick DeMille, personally for that lovely weather we had. And now, of course, if we did it this week, it'd be in the 80s, right?
Low 80s, actually.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, making me feel good.
But when, you know, the pattern changes are very difficult to forecast day to day. They're easy to forecast over a period of maybe a week or so, meaning that it's not going to be as hot, it's not going to be as humid, but it's these individual days that the pattern change is kind of difficult to forecast. So what I'm beginning to say here is that I think a good forecast for this week, where the pattern is beginning to shift a little bit, is one where I think about 2 or 3 days out, I think the confidence level goes way down. But
The what level?
The confidence level.
So the confidence of making a forecast.
Yeah, well, at least the forecast working out. You can always make a forecast. But I know what you were saying. Last week it was easy. It looked like we were going to have hot and humid weather for about 6 or 7 days, and we did. We didn't get the extreme heat, but that's okay because, man, oh, man, I did a little bit of a study last night on Channel 2, and I was amazed to see how hot and humid it has been just to the south of us where, you know, temperatures in Bloomington and Peoria and Springfield all last week were in the, you know, upper 90s, low 100s. We've only had 18 days of above 90-degree weather in Chicago this year, 20 at Midway. But if you go down to Kankakee, Mike, it's up to like 30. If you go down to Peoria and Springfield and Bloomington, it's like 35. And you go down to St. Louis, central sections of Illinois, and they've had 47 days above 90, which
yikes.
Which is unheard of.
Well, back in 88, we had 47 days, didn't we?
Right. Yeah, 47, that's the record for Chicago. But we also had 7 days above 100 that year. So that was a summer of extreme heat.
Oh, yeah.
But in 88, oddly enough, the dew point temperatures were not that high. We didn't really have the extreme humidity that we've had this year, primarily because we were in a drought that year. So it's almost like pick your poison. Would you rather have it hot and dry, or would you rather have it very warm and very humid, where the growing season is doing quite well? And I have to say, I would pick this, even though.
Yeah, I would too. I don't like droughts. That's nasty stuff.
That was a bad summer all the way around.
I remember I play softball at Clarendon Park along Lakeshore Drive in Montrose,
right.
And that summer there was not a blade of grass.
Right.
In anywhere on
right.
that field, it had turned to powder, everything.
And there were no mosquitoes that year.
You're right. And now I heard a report this week that mosquitoes are, what, three times the norm or something?
Oh, they're terrible. Matter of fact, they've already begun to register for their own city stickers. That's how bad they are.
Wait, I don't have a rim shot, but we'll give you the bell. dear.
Yeah, I mean, I was on Sheridan Road the other day and had to pull over to the left for a mosquito in the right lane going 40 miles an hour.
Whoa! Break the mile. He'll be here all week, unfortunately.
I tried the VL. It's 2 days old.
And covered with mosquitoes.
That's right. Yeah, no, we did a couple of reports on Channel 2, and we were checking in with some of the local newspapers out in Freeport and up at Rockford, out in Naperville. It's always good to check in with some of these local neighborhood newspapers because they sometimes have a better beat on, you know, some local health issues or nature issues than, you know, even the larger papers like the Sun-Times or the Tribune have. But and all of them reporting some of the worst mosquitoes, Mike, in nearly 30 years, nearly 30 years. And partly because the type of mosquito that's around this year is one that's more adapt to surviving in a very moist and warm environment as opposed to one that is surviving in more of a hot and dry pattern. And I was curious because the last couple of years we did have some, you know, some fairly decent rains, but the rains came at very sparse intervals. This year it's been a much more, I think, longer-term pattern of wetness, and the mosquito population that's now thriving, I think, has actually adapted to it. And I was out last week. I was having some dinner Friday evening at the Uncommon Ground, and I'm looking at my legs, and there's literally mosquitoes walking up the side of my sandals, and I'm like, this is crazy. And the person I was with was not getting bit up. I was getting bit up, so I was doing some research on, you know, do certain types of people emit certain types of, you know, scent that allows them to get bit by mosquitoes more than other people. And sure enough, you know, perspiration and how much carbon dioxide you actually emit will make you more susceptible to mosquitoes. And I'm unfortunately one of those people. So it's been a rotten year for mosquitoes, and I just can't wait for the first frost to come, really.
And we just got a tweet from My Skinny Garden, who says 1 in 4 mosquitoes in Forest Park tested positive for West Nile virus.
Right. Yeah, I heard about that
and
as
it's
well.
Making it miserable to harvest tomatoes from the garden. Yeah, we have in our yard. Kathleen goes out in the morning to water the earth boxes and comes back covered in mosquito bites. It's,
oh, yeah.
It's nutty. And I had somebody write to me and say, well, I've got some standing water. How do I control them? Well, in a normal year, I'd say throw in some of those mosquito dunks, which they're larvicides, and they will prevent
really?
The larvae from, yeah, from...
I don't know what that is.
Do you guys have that? I'd probably not.
It type of wasp that sits in water and it takes the mosquito?
No, it's a bacillus that kills the larvae while still in the water. And they have these things called mosquito dunks, and you throw them in. So, and that's the most effective way to kill mosquitoes. You want to get them before they metamorphose, I guess. It's less effective if you're spraying after they're flying around. The problem is this year there's so many mosquitoes. I'm not sure that's going to be particularly effective in one area. They're just mosquitoes are everywhere. So
yeah, I went out fishing last week 2 or 3 days on Montrose Point and also Pratt Avenue Point there, and I was spraying off of myself and the mosquitoes were on me on top of the black flies. I've never seen black flies as bad, and it was amazing because there was about 15 of us. Fishing, and all of a sudden we're all looking down on our legs and we're swatting ourselves. It was almost like someone was conducting a concert. All the fishermen just started, they'd cast and they'd whack, cast and whack. And I ran over to the bait house at Montrose Harbor and got some, you know, some deep woods off. And we all sprayed our legs with it, and it didn't make one difference, Mike. It was unreal.
Well, you know, the answer, of course, in a couple of circumstances, I've worn long pants, even though it's been blazing hot.
It's
going to protect. And the other thing I will say is that I have been using the non-DEET product that my buddy Rick Moskowitz at A-Plus Pest Control uses, which is the cedar oil. Smells, you walk around smelling like a closet, basically, and in a good way. And it's
closet bug repellent.
Exactly. It's cedar oil, non-DEET, so I don't worry about toxicity, and it does a fine job. So go to apluspest.com. In fact, Leah, look that up. Make sure I've got the right URL for that. So anyway, we need to do a forecast here, buddy.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Well, obviously, we were talking about this pattern change, and I just looked at the surface map, Mike, and the front is just to the east of us. You'll notice these lower kind of stratocumulus clouds, kind of mixing in with some alto cumulus clouds, kind of a pretty start to the day. But the dew point temperature in Chicago right now is currently 71. And if you're living in Chicago and you don't know what the dew point temperature is by now, shame on you, because we've been talking about it all summer. Generally, when it gets above 70, the dew point temperature, actual measure of moisture in the atmosphere means that the humidity level is very, very high. However, in Rockford right now, the dew point temperature is only 63, and in southern Wisconsin and southwestern areas of Wisconsin, it's already down into the upper 50s, and the flow is from the northwest. So you'll feel a gradual drop-off in humidity as we go through the afternoon. Temperatures will still manage to get up to about 86, 87 degrees, even though the normal high is 82, but we're not going to see 90 degrees around here, Mike, probably for the next 7 days.
Yay!
Yeah, that's good news. Now, when I talked about pattern change before, pattern changes are sometimes very difficult in the short term. But we do expect, obviously, dry weather today. Great conditions if you're heading out to the air and water show. Although yesterday was actually better because we had that little bit of a mid-cloud deck, which will, you know, afford you to look up at the sky and not shield your eyes from the sun. But still, great weather for the air and water show. By the way, lake water temperature has cooled off a little bit with that west wind. It's brought in some colder water from underneath. But early in the week, up here at Loyola Beach, the lake water temperature was 78 degrees, which was phenomenal. The warmest in nearly 30 years. So the lake, even though it's cool on the shoreline, by and large, Lake Michigan is about as warm as it's been since about 1995, but some of the shoreline temperatures approach 80 in some areas. So sunny today, high temperature close to about 86, clear skies tonight, great sleeping weather, readings down into the low 60s. Tomorrow, fantastic, a lot of sunshine, cool, less humid. To me, one of the 10 best days of the year. We haven't had one of those in a while. High of only 83. However, it gets cloudy Monday night and Tuesday. I wouldn't be surprised to see some rain come into the area on Tuesday. So readings on Tuesday, probably only the upper 70s to low 80s. And if that happens, Mike, that'll break the string of, I believe we're up to now 46 consecutive days where it's been above 80. We've never done that in Chicago where we've had temperatures that long in the 80s. And then we'll probably get into some drier weather for Wednesday before maybe some rain moves back into the area Thursday and Friday. So if you're trying to plan out some harvesting or some gardening work, probably today, tomorrow, and Tuesday, probably today and tomorrow are the better days before the rain moves in on Tuesday, Mike.
Excellent. That's Rick DeMaio, who does weather for this show, and you see him on Channel 2, CBS 2 Chicago. And you can go to DeMaioWeather.com or just go to my website, MikeNovak.net, and the link is right there. Rick, always a pleasure. Thank you for bringing in cool weather. It's a week too late for me, but now your task for next week, get rid of the mosquitoes.
Yeah, that'll be, I'm trying to petition Pat Quinn, that'll be our state bird by the end of the month.
Oh, there we go. Okay, and work on the jokes, okay?
I'll try.
All right, talk to you later. Bye-bye. Now, there's fish fertilizer, and then there's Grotone from Espoma. Grotone is an organic liquid plant food that is derived from farm-raised catfish that have been fed a strict diet of grains, minerals, and vitamins. This controlled environment makes Espoma's Grotone different from other products on the market, which are often made from whatever the catch of the day happens to be. So you can count on consistency in every bottle of Grotone. Grotone is part of the Tone product family from Espoma. It promotes bigger blooms and can be used on both indoor and outdoor plants. It won't burn leaves or roots. It won't clog drip systems or sprayers. And this is the best part. It smells minty fresh. I mean, a fish fertilizer. I like that idea. For more information about Grotone and other Espoma products, such as Tomato Tone, Flower Tone, and others, call 888-ESPOMA-1 or visit espoma.com, E-S-P-O-M-A, where you can join the Espoma Garden Club to receive tips by email and even watch a video about the company's 80-plus year history in the organic field. Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
We were just looking at the garden Twitter handle for Your Garden Show. At Your Garden Show is the Twitter handle. So
on Facebook.
Hey, oh, so I'm following now. Yay! Thank you, Leah. If you're like most Chicagoland gardeners, you've got some problems around the yard and garden. Ah, me? Maybe some unsightly brown spots in your lawn have got you down, or something's munching on those otherwise picture-perfect tomatoes or peppers in the vegetable beds. Maybe you have blossom end rot, and I mean your plants. Well, no matter what's bugging you and your garden, Sid's Greenhouses can help. They've got traditional as well as natural and organic products to get your lawn and gardens back on track. And speaking of lawns, if yours is a mess, it's time to renovate. Right now is the time to start your fall lawn renovation project. It'll take a little bit of work, but it'll be well worth the effort. Chris Merlin, Sid's lawn care go-to guy, has the play-by-play on how you can be on your way to an award-winning lawn. Sid's, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard. For hours and directions, visit sidsonline.com. Remember, you can bring your plastic grower pots, trays, or cell packs back to SIDS. I love the fact that they do their recycling. Take them to SIDS for recycling. And if you need some pots, they'll have some there for you, too. So whichever way you want to do it, I'm glad that SIDS is doing their bit for the environment. Let's try that again. Sometimes you hit the button and it stops like that. Wait a second.
Wow.
We're glitching all over the place here. But it's typical. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And my guests have been very kind to sit around and continue to talk about your garden show.
James Dean.
It's who I think I am. Yourgardenshow.com. Tom Finnerty and Lisa Marini Finnerty are here in the studio. So what you guys been doing the last 20 minutes? Just
taking notes.
About?
You get a lot of good information.
I try. I try to get the stuff out there. And I noticed you had your little flip cam there. Jeez, every move I make, it's like being stalked. She's videotaping everything here in the studio.
Well, I think it's all really interesting to people. There are a lot of new people coming to gardening, and they want to do it right, and they're looking on. The new people are looking online. The older, more seasoned gardeners are more traditional. Mm-hmm. And
that's a perfect point. All right, you and I actually talked a little bit about this on the phone the other day, and that is, there's a kind of disconnect. We got the new gardeners out there who love the social media, and you know, we're talking to the garden rant women in the second hour of the program. They're all about the internet and the interaction on the internet. Mm-hmm. This is what you're doing. Are you trying to get a new gardener on board with your garden show, or attract the older ones, or a little bit of both?
It's a little bit of both.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of both. But you know, the fastest growing section on Facebook now are the 55-year-olds. That's the big. That's the big growth on Facebook. You know, in a Facebook,
we got to get rid of them.
There's
the 55. Yeah, that's about
55 plus. Is it?
No, 54 is not. They don't count. Only the 55-year-olds. When you turn 56, forget it.
Wow.
No, I mean, it's that. You know, it's that
pretty
age
narrow.
Group. It's the biggest. It's the biggest sector.
Well,
on Facebook now.
Coming to
sector. They're the ones that are populating it now.
Well, they're finally figuring out that they're missing something. And I'm not going to say that Facebook is the be-all and end-all.
No, I'm not saying that. They're saying that social media. But if Facebook was a country, it would be the third largest country in the world, most populous. They just passed 500 million people.
Yeah.
Now, people say, well, Facebook is like the utilities company. And in certain instances, it is. And that's one of the reasons that we wanted to do Your Garden Show, was to build out a very specific, very custom-tailored social media experience for gardeners that was relevant to them.
And but here I am doing old-time media, really, radio, though it's still effective and people listen. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are people listening to the show right now who don't even have computers. Mm-hmm. I occasionally run across somebody. I mentioned it on the show a couple of weeks ago. I was scheduling a garden talk, and I said, well, just send me an email. She said, oh, I don't have email. Mm-hmm. And I went, whoa, okay, send me something. Get a carrier pigeon and whatever. But those folks are getting left behind. And that's why I think a lot of people are jumping on board the 55-year-olds only.
Well, we don't want them to be left behind.
No, we don't.
Because they have all the gardening knowledge. They have the lore. They've walked the walk. They've talked the talk. And we want them to record their legacies and help the rest of us become better gardeners, because they know that, you know, they're local. They're you know, incredible resources. Of all the gardening resources that are out there, other gardeners are the best. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we want to gather.
But if they don't
the
have a computer and if they only know email, it's really hard to get them to do something as interactive as your website, which is really fun. If they mm-hmm. saw the pictures, they would really love what you've done.
Well, many, many people have, like, an 8-year-old grandchild that can help them get online. That's what we've heard. You know,
Lisa, I don't have any children. Okay, so I got to do this myself. It's really painful, believe me. But I've learned how
libraries.
To do. You know, I can. I get the Twitter thing and the Facebook, and I even do the website stuff. Listen, we got about 30 seconds here. You're at IGC. What are you guys doing at IGC this week?
Introductions. We want to let people know that we exist, and we wanted to come to support IGC because its work is so important to support the local work of the local, like you said, the local experts. They are the experts. And when you really want to buy things, you go to your local garden center because they're the ones who can really help you out, as you said.
And on Tuesday, just to say, we're going to be at the Chicago Rarities Orchard Project out at
Logan Square, where I live, and I'm going to try to be there. Well, Lisa Marini-Finnerty, Tom Finnerty, and your garden show, you guys were great. Thank you so much for sticking around for a little extra time. Feel free to put the podcast up on the website if
we'll
you
do
want.
It.
And I'm looking for the videos.
We will
All right,
share them.
The Garden Rant women are here after the news. CNN, stick around.
I got a little change in my pocket going jingle-lang-a-lang. Won't you call you on the telephone, baby? I give you a ring, but each time we talk, keep your hands to yourself.
Welcome back to the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees, and by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and by Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Here he is, Mike Novak.
And by EcoLawn, the ultimate low-maintenance, drought-tolerant lawn. I'm actually very excited about this segment of the show. I've been thinking about having these women on the program for quite some time. Actually, one of them, Amy Stewart, has been on the program before. In fact, I'm going to bring her in first. Amy, how are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, you sound good and bright and chipper, considering you're the West Coast variety here, right?
That's
a ranter.
Right.
And I appreciate you being up this early, and it sounds like you already had a cup of coffee.
Sure, I'm ready to go.
Great. And let's then go to line one and bring in Elizabeth. And how do you pronounce your last name, Elizabeth?
Licata.
Licata, just the way it looks.
Exactly.
And Elizabeth Licata is in Buffalo, New York. Are you there today?
Yes, I am. Actually, I just got up, so.
And it's 10 o'clock there.
Yeah.
We got Susan there, too. Thank you, Leah, for doing that. Producer Leah filling in for Heather Fry. And let's now go to Tacoma Park, Maryland, and Susan Harris. How are you, Susan?
I'm fine, thanks.
Great.
Good to be with you.
Thank you, the three of you, for doing this. This is not the whole crew. Michelle Owens is who's the Massachusetts part of the Garden Rant team, is actually in Germany visiting her aunt, who's having an 80th birthday party, and I gave her a papal dispensation so she wouldn't have to be here. I had to write to the Pope personally for that. And these collectively are Garden Rant. And the I don't know if you caught any of the show beforehand, but today is kind of social media day. I had two wonderful people on the program, Tom Finnerty and Lisa Marini Finnerty. They've just started a website called yourgardenshow.com. Are you aware of that?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
It's where you take your garden photos and you post them online. They create a slideshow for you, or they'll put your video up. They have a lot of resources on the website. It's mm-hmm. great. What's that?
Make your own glog.
Oh, wait a second. Leah?
Make your own glog.
Make your own glog. That's it. And it's not an alcoholic drink. It's glogging, garden logging, and lots of good stuff. But lots of good stuff on your site as well, which is gardenrant.com. You can go to gardenrant.com, or you can go to my website, mikenovak.net. Look at this week's show. I have all the information up there, including the bios on all of you. Let's start, Amy, with you, because we've talked before. Folks should know that you're an author, and you have done a number of books, which are very good. And I don't know how... I'm going to start with the question with you, Amy, because I do not really a blog. I am starting to do that. I've been writing for years about this week's show. When this week's show comes up, I list the guests and I talk about them a little bit, and I do the links and I do all that stuff, and it takes me half of my natural life. Where do you find the time to do all this writing?
Yeah, that's a very good question. It's my life, you know. I mean, it's my full-time job, so that's really where it comes from. I mean, the nice thing about a blog is that it gets to be informal, and especially for us with Garden Rant, you know, we started Garden Rant because we wanted a place to say all the things that we couldn't say anywhere else. You know, we could not get an article published in a magazine about plants we hate. Nobody wants to talk about that, right? So we thought, well, we're just going to do this ourselves, and this is going to be like all the unprintable things are going to go on Garden Rant. So in that way, it's kind of fast and easy for me to write for Garden Rant, because it really is just right off the top of my head. It's very uncensored. I don't have to really stop and think about the polite way to say something, because that's not exactly a priority for us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's very unscripted in that way.
I end up doing some of that, too, but it's usually garden talks. When I get asked to do a garden talk, sometimes at mm-hmm. the beginning of the talk, I'm going to say, anybody from Scott's in the room? Am I going to get in trouble for what I'm about to say next? And I usually have to preface it with something like that.
Right.
Susan in Tacoma Park, Maryland.
Yes.
Talk about your writing a little bit.
Well, my hottest topic right now seems to be all about lawns and what to replace them with and how to take care of them in a more natural way, because I've partnered with a bunch of other garden communicators around the country, and we formed this Lawn Reform Coalition. So I have to resist. I could write about that issue on Garden Rant all the time, so I have to resist.
Well, but as I have said, first of all, you have to understand my slogan about lawns is, when in doubt, rip it out.
Yes.
And I have gone on at length about that. I'm also a speaker for safelawns.org, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yeah,
And, you know, it's not because so much because I got sought out. It's because I went on the website and saw that they didn't have anybody in the Midwest, really. Now we have somebody else, Safer Pest Control Project, which operates out of Chicago, which is a really good organization dedicated to lowering the use of pesticides on our lawns and in our schools. They practice IPM. They teach people how to get rid of bed bugs and cockroaches in a safe way, you know, that kind of stuff.
Great.
If you want to check them out, it's spcpweb.org. But at any rate, I found that talking about lawns is the great black hole of gardening discussion, because all rational thought gets sucked into it and never comes out again. People still obsess about lawns. Have you found that, Susan? Because I thought we were progressing. I thought we were moving forward.
Well, you know, I think the avid gardeners are moving forward, absolutely. But the vast majority of the public isn't in that category, and they're just starting to hear, you know, that there are other ways to go. In fact, I recently was asked to write an article on the subject of lawns for Fine Home Building magazine. So I'm hoping to reach the Toro jockeys out there and the guys who really love their power equipment and try to reach them, and I'm going to try to turn them on to growing shrubs and learning how to prune, hoping that maybe the pruning tools will make them as excited as the Toro. I don't know.
Yeah, but pruning is like rocket science to most people.
It is. It's tricky.
It is. I mean, it's you and what you find is that most people with pruning, they nibble around the edges so that they don't ever really shape a plant unless they're going to turn it into a ball. But that's what most of your landscapers do anyway. Come September, they're going to go pruning all of your lilacs and forsythias into balls, and they call that landscaping. All right, let's go to Elizabeth Licata in Buffalo. What have you been ranting about lately, Elizabeth?
Well, I rant about, like Amy, I do sort of react to a lot of the banal stuff. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it that you see in, like, gardening columns. You know, plant your bulbs for spring now and things like that. I think one of my first rants, some things just strike me as, you know, silly. They had a little tip, and they love to have their little garden tips. They said, paint your lawn furniture to match your flowers. And I made fun of this, which turned out to be, I guess, a big mistake because our readers were very upset. But see, that's the whole point, is that we'd like to get our readers upset.
Well, if you don't get them upset, you have no website, really. Right?
Exactly. So yes, you just sort of, and also one of the things I talk about a lot, I don't know if it's ranting, is that this may surprise you, but I happen to live in Gardening Central USA, which is Buffalo, New York. We're very avid gardeners here. And the funny thing is what Susan's talking about, and you are talking about with lawns, is when you go out to the little suburban towns and so on, I just went to the little town where I grew up, nobody on my block has a lawn. Everyone. The neighborhood that I just was at had a lawn, and I don't know, might have been like a quarter inch high. And yeah, that's just the way it works out there.
Yeah,
and that's what you're fighting.
Well, yeah, you're fighting the golf course mentality.
And I
tell folks, you can have a golf course on your front lawn if you want to go out there every single day and work on it, because that's what they do at golf courses. And if you want to nuke it with every kind of pesticide known to mankind, yeah, you can have that. But I thought the whole idea of a lawn was that you didn't have to work that hard at it, and it would look relatively nice, I would think.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, I don't get it. I don't grow any grass. It wouldn't work on my property, so I just don't see. But some people find lawn mowing to be a sort of meditative, relaxing, zen-like kind of occupation.
Well, especially those where they're mowing the back 40.
Oh yeah, like it. It's peaceful.
Well, when you're sitting on the mower and you've got the headset on and you've got it cranked to 11, and nothing can bother you. I was driving through the country not too long ago, the other week, and saw a guy doing that, and I thought, you know what? He's in Zen mode right here with his lawn. So,
well, except that sometimes they want to use their lawnmowers as vehicles as well, and that can be problematic.
Yes.
We've had a couple of drunk driving on a lawnmower incidents here in Western New York.
Oh, dear. Well, yeah, that's, you know, some people figure, well, you know, I'm just mowing the lawn. I'll have a couple of beers while I'm doing that, too. And, heck, am I going to bother anybody? Yeah, until you hit the interstate.
Don't drink and mow.
We're talking to the Garden Rant women. Susan Harris, Elizabeth Licata, Amy Stewart, Michelle Owens is not available, but she gets a pass. And they have a website called GardenRant.com. Now, I think you kind of got the idea here if you've been listening. If you want to rant about something in your garden, or even really, oh, have we got a tweet here? Okay, from Toronto Gardens. Here's a rant. Why is it so difficult to get a decent watering can? So many ugly, badly designed ones. You're right. She's right. You'd think that would be pretty simple, wouldn't you? Anybody want to comment on that?
Well, Mike, actually, I think they do have some very fancy gourmet watering cans. What I think is an even bigger problem, although I hear what she's saying, I think that's Helen, I know her, is the spray nozzle. One of my most commented upon rants was, I just posted a picture of a couple of spray nozzles at the bottom of a garbage can and said, these all suck. You don't even have to say that much. And I got a lot of comments and just people going on and on how they could not possibly buy a good one. They just use their thumb now. And it excited an extraordinary amount of passion.
Well, don't you remember the old, well, I don't know, you guys are maybe a little younger than I am, but in the old days, there was only one kind of nozzle. It was like the fire hose nozzle, you know, just that, and you twisted it and it sprayed or it flowed or, you know, and then they started bringing into the market, well, now you can do the shower, now you can do the rainstorm, now you can do the trickle, now, you know, and you just dial it up, whatever specific thing you want. I mean, as if we can't figure out how to use our thumbs. You know, that's how we became the dominant species on the planet, by figuring out how to use our thumbs.
Right.
And I was ranting earlier at the beginning of the show about, and I'm going to put this in air quotes, garden fabric. You know, that the weed barriers or whatever they use it for. I just spent 3 days. And I could go into this for days, too. Let me explain briefly. Our station did a contest where we were giving some lucky guy for Father's Day the ultimate backyard makeover. What the station didn't tell me at the time was that I was going to spend 3 days in 90-degree heat digging in 200 plants, including several trees and shrubs, in what essentially is rock-hard clay.
Wow.
And on top of it, I would go 3 or 4 inches down, and then there would be this landscape fabric that I had to cut through, which at that point, it's not doing any kind of good at all. I mean, normally you'd put that on the surface, and I ranted earlier and just said, don't use fabric. Don't ever use fabric. It doesn't do any good. The weeds are going to grow on top of it.
Yes.
So all you're doing is keeping water and nutrients from getting to the soil. I said, if you buy it, you're just making some scam artist happy because they're the ones making the fabric.
Well, right on.
I just let my weeds grow until I see whether I like them or not.
There you go.
I just pull them out.
Well, that's true. You know, but that gets to the whole question, and I'm sure you've delved into it many times on the site. What is a weed?
Good question. And we also get, unfortunately, Michelle's not here. It's Elizabeth. But Michelle ranted about these so-called invasive plants. She had some flag iris that she was allowing to grow around her pond in the country. And I think she got the most comments on that than any other rant ever, you know, because she was sort of against the whole sort of very rigid, you know, plant banning mentality. And there is one. I wrote a piece about ivy once for both horticulture, and I ran it on it as well, and I just was universally condemned by everyone.
And what did you say about ivy?
I like it.
Oh! Okay, well then I'll rail against you for a while. How's that?
But I Well, it doesn't. It is not. It's not a big grower here in Buffalo. It's certainly not going to overwinter to the extent where it can do any damage. It's all local, Mike.
Well, wouldn't it be protected by all that snow you get?
Well, okay, the Chicago person talking to me about weather.
Well, wait a second. Wait a second. Okay. Oh, if you're going to get snarky on me here, Chicago, we don't get a lot of snow. All right. So when we do get to the minus temperatures, the plants are unprotected, and a lot of them take a hit. But in Buffalo, you got all that lovely snowy mulch, and I'm surprised anything dies at all over there.
It's not consistent. And you have to remember with ivy is that it wants to climb. So, you know, something that is a ground cover isn't really good. The snow, unfortunately, it's just not true. I wish it were true, Mike, but, you know, it goes away. You get a sudden thaw. Everything freezes, so on and so forth. And, of course, this last, we got the least amount of inches of snow than we've ever had in decades. I think Susan got more snow than I did last winter.
Absolutely.
In Maryland, what are the challenges in Maryland, Susan?
Well, I like the topic of weeds because if you want to find self-sustaining plants, then you can't get any better than things that blow in, you know, that are in the atmosphere and just blow in. So, for example, instead of lawn now, I'm using a creeping sedum that is just great. There's about a couple other weeds that are pretty. You know, they're not crabgrass. I would never allow crabgrass. So if it's pretty and it wants to grow here anyway, and I would have to go to the effort to get rid of it, then, you know, I'm very happy to garden with some weeds.
That is Elizabeth. That's Susan Harris in Maryland, and mm-hmm. just before her, Elizabeth Licata. Amy Stewart is lying low at the moment, hoping
I'm still here,
hoping to duck out of this conversation. You know, one of the weeds, and again, I'm using air quotes here, that I would put in that category is purslane. I don't know why people rip out purslane, frankly. It's really an attractive plant. Now, it might not be in a place you want it to be, but I have yet to find a place that that is sacrosanct in my yard.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
well,
also people say
too,
you can cook with purslane, but I have to say I consulted with my friend Ed Brusky the other day. He writes this terrific food blog called The Slow Cook. And he said it tastes horrible, so I'm not even going to try to cook it up.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to do that either because I've got a CSA share this year, and why would you eat purslane out of your yard when, you know, you can get really nice vegetables from somebody who's growing them on purpose?
Yeah, great.
Well, it's good for you. I have to defend purslane. Just try it. Try a little bit of
okay.
it raw. I've put it in salads, and it's pretty good.
You're serious?
It's good. Yeah, yeah, try it.
Well, Mike, a lot of bloggers have said that purslane is excellent. I've been reading all kinds of tweets and posts on it.
Yeah, it's very nutritious and it's tasty and it won't kill you.
Okay, I'll give it a try.
Wait, that was Amy who's right?
Yeah.
Who's the purslane addict here? All right, I got a rant for you guys that I'm going to direct at you. Oh, wait a second, we got another comment here. One of our tweeters, Zanboni, who's a local tweeter here, says, if they start recommending creeping sedum, I'm going to rant. I hate that stuff. So, you know, there you go, Elizabeth. Not everybody agrees with you on that one. All right.
Susan likes the creeping sedum, Mike, but if we've got your listeners upset,
oh, Susan,
job
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What's that?
If we've got your listeners upset, our job is done.
That's right.
My listeners hate me already. I don't need this. And forgive me for losing track. You know, it would be easier if you guys were in studio. At some point, actually, we're going to talk about you guys coming to town to the IGC, the Independent Garden Center show at Navy Pier, which is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Your presentation is Thursday, right?
Yes.
And I'm going to come by and, you know, have you autograph my garden gloves or something.
Oh,
I'm
cool.
Not sure. All right. These are the Garden Rant women. You can go to their website, gardenrant.com. Susan Harris, Elizabeth Licata, Amy Stewart. We're going to continue this. Are you still game for this?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, we'll stick around.
I'm having a good time. I hope you guys are. And again, if you've got a rant, you can do it on Twitter or give us a call at 773-838-9278. We'll be back with them in just a second. And let's find out. I've lost track of where I am. Here I am. You've been looking at that lawn all summer. We were just talking about lawns. Now, one way not to have a traditional lawn, but to have a beautiful lawn, is Eco Lawn. Eco Lawn is different because it thrives in full sun, part shade, deep shade, needs little or no watering once established, and doesn't need fertilization. And you're saying, yeah, sure. And I say it grows in sandy soil, clay soil, nutrient-depleted soil, and you're saying, too good to be true. Guess what? There are beautiful Eco Lawns in every state and province in North America. You should try it yourself. As a matter of fact, you could go to IGC this week, and I know that the Eco Lawn people are going to be there, and you can see samples of their products. They grow it, and they put it in a flat, and you can see what it looks like. It's fabulous stuff. In Chicago, you can find it at Lake Street Landscape Supply, or you can go to ecolawn.com. That's ecolawn.com. Now, Urban Wildlife has a new place to call home with the opening of the Nature Boardwalk at Lincoln Park. This 14-acre habitat at the zoo's South Pond is designed to be a slice of prairie in the big city. Though popular for its paddle boat rides, the man-made South Pond had become stagnant and virtually devoid of wildlife. Not anymore. Naturalized slopes and a new island welcome waterfowl and other aquatic wildlife. Prairie plants and more than 100 new trees also help revive the native ecosystem. Enjoy a walking trail around the pond and keep an eye out for black-crowned night herons, yellow-bellied sapsuckers, painted turtles, and more. Also watch for interactive displays and special zoo programs interpreting the new habitat. WRD Environmental was part of the South Pond Rehabilitation Team. Creating sustainable landscapes since 1997, WRD is a recognized leader in creating eco-friendly settings that bring people and nature together. For sustainable landscape solutions, choose WRD Environmental. And you can find them, of course, at WRDEnvironmental.com.
Hey, gardeners. Want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantini's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie, too. Cantini has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shop, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantini.org.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Mowers, string trimmers, and other lawn care equipment help create a well-manicured lawn, but they can wreak havoc on trees. Any kind of equipment carelessly used, even hand tools, can cause trunk wounds. These can lead to disease, insect damage, and even the death of a tree. Young trees of all types and thin bark trees, such as birches and maples, are more susceptible to trunk damage than those with more rugged and thick bark, like elms, oaks, and ashes. Believe me, it's what we call lawnmower blight. And it's always because you think you can get the lawnmower in just a little bit closer. Don't worry, I'm just, and especially the string trimmer. Ooh, I'm going to get those weeds or the grass right at the base of the tree. Well, first of all, you shouldn't be planting grass right up to the trunk of the tree. And second, don't try to get in there with that because you're going to slip and you're going to nick the tree and you're going to doom it at some point. With 9 locations, the Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years, putting you and your trees first. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard or you're changing your landscaping, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. Not again. What is with... I think it's the CD I burned. It's a little funky. I guess that would be one of the themes you would use for the garden rant people. You got to got to know your enemy, right? And their enemy is bad taste. That's got to be one of your enemies, I would think, Amy Stewart.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, bad gardens. In fact, you know, we have actually done things on Garden Rant where one of us will go to some neighborhood and drive up and down the street and take pictures of horrible, horrible landscapes and post them and critique them on Garden Rant. And there again, that's just something you're not going to get to do in the average garden magazine. This is why we had to start our own thing.
Well, I love the fact that one of your one part of your manifesto, and if you go to the website, gardenrant.com, you will see the manifesto. And one of the things you say is that you're bored with perfect magazine gardens.
Yes, actually, and this is a big issue for me. I think that magazines should run pictures of gardens in the off season, when everything is chopped down to the ground and looks terrible. And I think they should run pictures of the ugliest part of a garden.
Yay!
Yes, that's something we've done, too. We've done a thing where people can post the ugliest area in their garden. We all have some part of the garden that just looks terrible, except for Elizabeth. Elizabeth has a small, beautiful garden, and there are no ugly parts to it. But the rest of us all have ugly parts to our garden, and we need to see those more often so we have a more realistic idea of how people live.
Yeah, but Elizabeth has a beautiful garden all around because she lives in Buffalo. It's nothing to do with her. It's just Buffalo, right?
It is just Buffalo. Buffalo is amazingly beautiful. I couldn't believe how gorgeous that city was.
What I've discovered is the ugliest part of my garden is my house.
Uh-oh.
That's scary. You know what? I realize I never take any pictures from the garden towards the house. It's always from the house towards the garden.
Mm.
Yeah, the back porch looks like, well, the Jodes live there, but that's another story. Hey, we have a ranter who wants to do a little rant on the line. So let's go to line four. And Samuel in Oak Lawn, what's your rant, Samuel?
People that walk their dogs and do the business on the lawn, you know, that it's not magic. You're kneeling in that stuff, and you know, especially if somebody else maintains a couple dozen containers in a garden bed and stuff like that. That's terrible.
You know, you're right though. I was doing. I do some landscaping. I don't call it landscaping. I call it gardener. People ask me, are you a landscaper? I say, no, I'm a gardener. But I was helping some friends put in some shrubs, and I had just put them in on their parkway. And, of course, the people from down the block came walking their dog, and the dog peed immediately on the shrub I just planted. And I said, could you get your dog to do that someplace else maybe? And they got all huffy with me because they said, you don't own the parkway.
Yeah. You know, my father had the perfect response to somebody when that happened. He had flowers planted, little pansies or something planted right out along the sidewalk. And somebody walked right by and let their dog pee on him while he was standing there. And he said, hey, I was going to eat those flowers.
Samuel, that's a great rant. Yeah, and I especially like the part about where they do that, and then you're kneeling in the garden, and you get up, and you realize just what you've knelt in.
Is there a deterrent with vegetables garden around that, or what?
Oh, a deterrent?
Yeah.
For dogs?
They don't work.
What's that?
Yeah, it's mostly dogs. I mean, I can understand, you know, wild animals. I don't want to harm them, but still.
No. But I understand your concern. Now, I missed the comment about what was the deterrent and why was it a ripoff?
No, I'm asking you.
No. Samuel, I'm talking. I'm talking to my other guests on the other line. Who had the comment there?
It's me, Elizabeth, Mike, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but this is one of the things we rant about, is that there's all these products that are sold, and yes, if Samuel goes to his garden center, he will see dog and cat repellent, and he will waste his money on it maybe and take it home, and all it'll do is create some noxious odor. It'll probably be all natural, but still, you know, covering up the smell of his nice flowers, and it won't work. And there's so many, this is something that we rant about frequently, is the the way that, you know, garden consumers are taken all the time by all these sprays that promise to do all these miraculous things.
That's a really, really good point.
Now, yeah, great. Because I would have went in and find it wouldn't work.
So, okay. So, all right, so don't get them, Samuel. That's got bottom it. Line. I'm not sure. Maybe fencing. Maybe
A taser?
I was thinking that's good. I was going to say BB gun, but taser is much
it's
better.
Not the dog, it's yeah. the people.
It well, no, we're saying tase the people, not the dog.
Well.
Don't tase me, bro. Don't tase me. I'm in the garden.
Yeah.
All right, Samuel, for calling in with a rant, we got to give you something here. Do you have a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine?
No, I don't.
You do now. And hang on, talk to Leah, and she'll get you the information. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
Yes. Thank you, Mike.
There we go. You know, my yard, I live in the... Oh, okay, I got to go into my other rant, because before I go into what's in my yard, which is feral cats, but that's another matter. Why don't we have a Midwest garden rant person?
That's a good question. You know, we met on the internet. I mean, we had never met in person when we started Garden Rant, and it wasn't a sort of corporate recruiting process where we were looking for a certain amount of diversity. It was really more about attitude.
I'm thinking conspiracy, actually, but
we also have no men.
We also have no men. That's true.
We are, well, but you have men guest contributors.
And we have guest contributors from... I mean, that's the thing. Anyone can come on and do a guest rant, and we are more than happy to have a guest take over for the day, because it's not easy coming up with something 7 days a week. And we've been doing this now for, what, 4 years? 4 years?
Does it seem like 4 decades?
Yes.
The problem is when it's... It's fun when it's just taking off and it's all exciting and all, and then it becomes a responsibility, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a responsibility, but, you know, it's a responsibility to be controversial and entertaining and other things that are sort of fun and that come naturally to us anyway. So yeah, we managed to keep it going, and we've kind of become an institution. I mean, people really expect us to be there. There are garden publishing companies who start off their Monday morning editorial meeting by checking out Garden Rant and talking about what's been on there. So we feel that we owe it to them to keep going.
Wow. Yeah. All right. I have to ask you, and it's just going to make me feel small and pathetic. What are your unique visits to the site?
I think it's about 2,000 a day.
Well, that's pretty good. I mean, I thought you were going to say like 2 million a day or something like that.
Not in the gardening world. Maybe if it was politics or gossip.
But, you know, and I guess that's what I guess I'm finding out is that there's a limited audience when you're talking gardening.
Right.
And the people are passionate, of mm-hmm. course, but there are certain limitations. Let me do some reintroductions here. I have the Garden Rant women on the line. They're going to be at the IGC this week, the Independent Garden Center show at Navy Pier on Thursday. You can go to www.gardenrant.com. Susan Harris is out of Maryland. Elizabeth Licata is out of the best gardening city in the entire visible universe, Buffalo, New York. Amy Stewart is out of, it's sad. She's in Northern California. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
And Michelle Owens is in Germany, and you'll never get to know her. But you have to go to the website to do that. Tell me about what you're going to do at the IGC. All four of you will be there in one room. That ought to be fun.
Yes, that's a rare occurrence. I think there have only been one or two other times that actually all four of us have been in the same room at the same time.
Who was that speaking there?
Oh, this is Amy.
Yeah, okay, Amy. And yes. Susan, how do you feel about doing that? I mean, do you even want to be in the same room with these other people?
It'll actually be the second time that it's ever happened. The only prior time was in Buffalo, of course, for one of their amazing garden walk weekends. It's a great opportunity. You know, we're going to have fun. And,
are there
going to
be drinks, Elizabeth? Are we going to have a little cocktail shaker behind the table that we're passing back and forth during our panel? I mean, I'm not going to get through this thing sober.
11 in the morning, Amy.
Oh, 11.
Hey, wait. Yeah, but that's noon Eastern time.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's you know, as I always say, It's 4 o'clock somewhere in the world.
It better be. Well, we're going to. They've asked us to speak about basically anything we want to talk about, but I think also to cover the whole environmental scene when, as it relates to gardening nowadays. So we all have. We've taken a bunch of surveys of our readers, so we can report on not just what we think, but what our readers are telling us. And
it doesn't matter what your readers think. It's what you think. And as we all know, the world revolves around Elizabeth is what I'm beginning to find out. It's like, and Buffalo.
Yes.
I know that you're trying your best to be snarky in a nice way, Mike, but it's true. It's true. So
it is true.
It's not even affecting us.
No, I wasn't trying to be nice at all, as a matter of fact. But you, I see also that in addition to the Independent Garden Center show, you're going to be at the Morton Arboretum on Wednesday.
Yes, this is Amy. I'm going to do a talk with them on Wicked Plants, which is my latest book. So.
Oh, I'm surprised you didn't plug it until now. Go ahead.
Can you believe I held back this long?
Well, actually, what I was going to say, Amy, is that you're going to be back on the show, and we should talk about Wicked Plants.
Yes, we should. Well, and Wicked Bugs is coming out next spring, so we got to get Wicked Plants done soon because I'm moving on to Bugs.
You just one after another, just
That's right.
crank them out, pop
yep.
them out there like a chicken laying eggs or something. I don't know.
Kind of like that, only less noise. I have 5 hens, so I can attest to that.
And less clucking.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about Wicked Plants.
Well, Wicked Plants is obviously a look at plants that can kill you, plants that have been used as murder weapons,
wow.
Plants that commit crimes, that inflict pain, and that are just generally offensive or horrible in some way.
Plants
so,
that commit crimes actively?
Yeah, so it's kind of the dark side of the plant kingdom, and it's a highly selective list because I wanted good stories. So for every plant, I have a murderer, I have a victim, a villain, a body count. I have some awful thing that has happened to some particular person.
What's
so
your best murder plant?
If that sounds exciting to you, that's what I'll be doing on Wednesday.
Leah wants to know what the best murder plant. Can you give one away?
The best murder plant story.
Yeah, actually, well, you know, I'll tell you, Time Out New York asked me to write up some instructions on how to murder a dinner guest last year. And I thought about it, like, really, how would I do it? I mean, knowing everything I know, how would I murder a dinner guest? And I think the answer would be monkshood, aconitum.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's easily mistaken for parsley. So if you were, you know, if you were accused of a crime, you can claim that it was an honest mistake. And you know, it is quite deadly. And the thing is that the initial symptoms are kind of like the stomach flu. So you have someone over for dinner. Maybe they start to get a little sick. You just get them in a taxi cab real quick and get them home. And you've got some time to leave the country before it gets worse for them. Because it's going to be a day or two, possibly.
Yeah,
so,
but you know what? Anybody who gardens regularly realizes that we're taking our lives in our hands every time we walk into the darn garden. Take castor bean,
yes.
for crying out loud.
It's a perilous business.
Yeah, I mean,
yes.
Diffenbachia. I don't go chewing on Diffenbachia, you know?
You know, Mike, I use Chicago in my slideshow all over the country as an example of very poisonous plants growing right out in public landscaping. Datura spilling out of the window boxes of the Chicago Public Library.
Oh, they love their Datura here.
Absolutely. I mean, and they are beautiful plants, and you don't have to be afraid to grow them. And this is the thing I keep telling people. It's just not food. You grow them, but it's not food. It's like you walk into the drugstore and you see all the things they have for sale. There's shampoo and there's shaving cream and there's Band-Aids and batteries and light bulbs. You don't have to be terrified of those things. Just don't eat them for breakfast. That's all. That should be easy to remember.
Amy, I am terrified of those things. I can't walk into a grocery store without going into fetal position, all right? All right, so that's you got to pick up Wicked Plants.
Yes, and that'll be Wednesday at Morton Arboretum. I think it's at 7:30.
And then you guys are at the Borner Botanical Garden in Milwaukee on Friday.
Well, I am. This is all kind of, we're getting into the Amy Stewart Roadshow.
Oh, see, now I got
missed. I wish everybody was coming with me.
I see. It says rant on the road here on your website.
But see, that's rant singular.
Oh, I see. So the rest of you, as soon as you do your little stint at IGC, you're out of here, right? Back to the confines of Buffalo and Maryland.
Maryland, yeah. Home to do some watering.
Okay. Hey, we've got... all right, let's see. We're going to take another call here and roll the dice and see what we got. Let's go to Kaida on line four. How you doing, Kaida?
Good morning. Good morning to your guests.
I hope they can hear you. Can you hear her okay?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'll speak up.
No, no. Oh, yeah, that'd be a good thing. It's mainly the fact that we got four people on the phone at once, and we'll be lucky if this radio station doesn't explode in a second. So.
Oh, let's hope that doesn't happen.
All right.
But, okay, I'm trying to find out if you can give me the name of an environmentally friendly weed killer.
An environmentally friendly weed killer. Well, you know, that's not exactly a rant, Kaida.
I think it is a rant. Here's my environmentally friendly weed killer. Pull them out with your hands.
That is
environmentally friendly, and it is good exercise, and it actually works. You know, one of the things that we do talk about on Garden Rant is, are we just replacing one aisle of chemicals with a different aisle of chemicals?
Yeah.
Maybe we need to garden in such a way that we're not buying little plastic spray bottles filled with substances and instead just sort of do the work. I mean, I will say, in all honesty, with weeds, you know, I mean, if they're weeds in the sidewalk, I pour boiling water on them, and I've occasionally used vinegar, but all of my weed control is sweat. It's sweat equity.
Sweat equity. And Kaida, I mean, I have to agree with them. Let me ask you, where are the weeds and what kind are they?
We don't know the names of all of them. There are some morning glories, but the other.
Oh well, morning glory is a rant in itself for about a week.
That's a thug.
You know, that's a thug. Yeah, it will. I got to tell you something. This guy, two doors down from me, bought this house that he wanted to renovate and then put back on the market. Okay, so he's and no offense, Amy, but I believe he was from California. And he did this, and then what did he plant in the backyard? Morning glories. I mean, he planted a ton of morning glories. The whole yard was overtaken by morning glories, and then went into my neighbor's yard, my 86-year-old neighbor, whose lawn I have to mow, which means I'm hacking morning glories now because this clown put morning glories in his backyard, and they're going to be there probably a few centuries until they give up the ghost, and that's the problem with morning glories. So, Kaida, I feel your pain about morning glories. What you have to do with morning glories is you yank those suckers out the minute you see those leaves. And one of the great things about morning glories is that the cotyledons are very identifiable, meaning the first leaves that come out, they look they got these. It's real easy. Once you, how would you describe anybody there? Elizabeth, you're the best gardener.
I'm not the best gardener, but I mean, I'm sorry, I have to. There could be worse things that could happen in life than a bunch of morning glories coming up. My whole rant is not against these thugs, whether they're thugs or not. I'm sure some of them are. But the whole, like, idea of rules. We have a guest rant on today called the plant police, and that's the whole thing. These are the plants you can't. Don't plant this. You know, pull this out. Cut this back. People are always being abjured to be really neat in their gardens, and that's what drives me crazy because people come through my yard and they'll say, wow, your hydrangeas look so good. Then they're... Well, do you cut your hydrangeas back to the ground like every spring and fall? And of course they do, because they just think everything has to be orderly, everything has to be neat.
Well, I will agree.
They always ask me, what can I pour in my trumpet vine to kill it, you know? pull out a few weeds, let a couple weeds grow, you know, live and let live.
You know, and I'm going to let you go, Kaida, but okay. I think they're right at some point, we got to take responsibility for this. For instance, people say, hey, I got a yard full of creeping Charlie. What do I, you know, how do I nuke it? And I say, well, first of all, the first rule of that is you haven't been paying attention for about 5 years because it doesn't take over your whole yard in a week. All right. So now, because you didn't pay attention, you want to come bring out the heavy arsenal. And I'm not going to advise that for you. And I think... Elizabeth has a good point, which is learn to live with some weeds. Unless they're dragging down your chimney. But otherwise, pull them yourself, pay attention in the spring. If you have to, mulch and smother them. There's a lot of very non-toxic ways of dealing with those kinds of things.
Okay.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. We're talking to the Garden Rant women. We just have a couple of minutes here. What have we missed? We've got the Amy Show is happening this week. We know that Elizabeth is the best gardener in the world. And Susan, you're what's your claim to fame?
Well, the lawn care, the whole lawn reform, thing that I'm trying to corral. And I'm blogging now for a couple of independent garden centers, and so that's a whole lot of fun.
Oh, right.
That's a cool thing.
Yeah, that was one thing I saw, and you are encouraging garden centers to do blogs because you think, and that's one of the things you're going to talk about this week, you're trying to get the average gardener to tell you what they want to hear from their garden center, right?
Yes, and they're telling us that they want to see pictures of the plants full grown in the garden and in combination with other plants. You know, they don't want these little close-ups that we're used to seeing in catalogs that don't really help us. So they want to see that and stories and here's how this plant did in my garden, and inspire them, you know, and teach them, but in an entertaining way.
Well, you know, that's an uphill battle too, because if ordinary people find it hard to blog and to do that, so do garden centers. You know, my wish would be that the garden center update its website more than every 6 months, all right?
Right. Yeah, that'd be progress.
That would be progress. But garden centers, like other gardeners, are finding out about the new technology, about the social media.
Right. And Facebook, in particular, we're seeing a lot of garden centers using Facebook really well, too, which is great. And that's just part of the whole online marketing, a social marketing that everyone's climbing on board and that they're finding is a very cost-efficient way to reach their customers and create new customers, really.
We have kind of a final comment here, Twitter coming in via Twitter. From My Skinny Garden, the caller could be referring to bindweed, which is true, which is a pernicious weed.
Oh, yes.
Which I also thought was morning glory. So she's right, because a lot of people, it's related to morning glory, isn't it?
Or yes.
Yeah. And her solution is move. And on that note, I want to thank Susan Harris.
Thank you, Mike.
Elizabeth Licata.
Thank you, Mike.
And of course, my life won't be complete now unless I go to Buffalo. And Amy Stewart. You're right. And I'm glad you copped to it. That's good.
Thanks, Mike. This was fun.
I really enjoyed having you guys. I'm going to see you on Thursday when you're in town. And people, go to gardenrant.com. You'll get more of this kind of conversation. They really are entertaining. They really do have a lot of good information on the site. And they need to be stroked more. Because it's not good enough for them to be getting 2,000 hits a day. And show up at the IGC, and I'll bring the beers. How's that?
Good.
All right.
Here's a good morning drink.
You know what? Or maybe just a Bloody Mary. Anybody need it?
Okay.
Margaritas? That work for you?
Sounds good. Bring your blender.
So when people are talking and they hear in the background, what's that? Oh, we're just mixing up some organic pesticide. Yeah, that's it. All right. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. They're fun, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
They're just a trip, and I'm like, where am I here? I'm so caught up in all
too
of that.
Too many blender drinks.
Yeah, I guess I got to bring the blender drink. All right. If you're like most Chicagoland gardeners, you've got some problems around the yard and garden. Maybe some unsightly brown spots in your lawn have got you down. Or you could just rip it out. Or something's munching on those otherwise picture-perfect tomatoes or peppers in the vegetable beds. Well, no matter what's bugging you in your garden, SIDS Greenhouses can help. They've got traditional as well as natural and organic products to get your lawn and gardens back on track. And speaking of lawns, if yours is a mess, it's time to renovate. Right now is the time to start your fall lawn renovation project. It'll take a bit of work, but it'll be well worth the effort. Chris Merlin, Sid's lawn care go-to guy, has the play-by-play on how you can be on your way to an award-winning lawn. Sid's Chicagoland's premier garden centers are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassard Boulevard. For hours and directions, visit sidsonline.com. Remember, too, if you have any plastic grower pots, trays, or cell packs around your place for spring and summer planting projects, take them to SIDS for recycling. And why do you do that? Because it's the right thing to do.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Speaking of RestoreTheNorthShore.com, Ron Colgill is in the studio. We'll get to him in just a second. We spent some time. We bonded last week.
Is that what you call it?
No, I call it self-abuse, but we'll get to that in a second here. Now, if you think that organics are the new kid on the block, consider this. The Espoma Company has been producing high-quality organic and natural products for more than 8 decades, and they just made growing beautiful plants in containers easier and organic. Introducing the new Espoma Organic Potting Mix. Espoma is the maker of Holly Tone, Plant Tone, and other organic plant foods. If the word tone is in the name, you know it's made by Espoma. Now they make container growing mixes, and it's not too late to put some containers. We're going to have warm weather. You know, it'll grow into October. So you got 3 months. You can still do this. Espoma Organic Potting Mix is a blend of only the finest natural ingredients, and it's ingredients is what I meant to say, and it's fortified with mycotone mycorrhizae. Mycotone promotes root growth and helps grow bigger, better plants with more blooms. Look for all of the new Espoma Organic Potting Mixes at your local independent garden center this spring. Here's one more. New Espoma Grow Tone, the ideal liquid plant food for all potted plants. For more information about Espoma Natural Gardening Solutions, 888-ESPOMA-1 or espoma.com, E-S-P-O-M-A.com. Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. Mr. Colgill, I'm going to say this right here, and I'll say it on your show if people don't tune into then. I've gained so much respect for you in the last 2 weeks for the work you've done on the backyard makeover. If you want to hire somebody, DNR, all right? I advertise, I play their ads on my show, and then I got to see Mr. DNR in action. Last 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, yeah, you did.
Lots of action. and it was not fun. It was not, I mean, it was fun. You know, we did have a good time. We were dying in the heat.
Yes.
And if you want to see pictures of what we did for the backyard makeover, the slideshow, have you had a chance to see some of the slideshow?
No, I didn't. I haven't gone to the website yet. I was waiting to get on to.
You know what? I'll leave it up here for you so okay. You can go right to see that. And you'll see what we did in that yard. Mostly Ron responsible for it, reusing the lumber from their deck and putting in the door and putting in the porch, the step, and the patio. And then I dug in the clay for 3 days.
Yes, you did.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. I liked your comment that those people in Bolingbrook don't have dirt.
They don't. There's no dirt there.
No.
Nothing resembling dirt. But I will say, one of the nicest families I've ever met.
Yes.
They were so good. They fed us. They took care of us. They made sure we had ice water. And we made their machine, their refrigerator, run out of ice water. All right. Well, Ron Colgill's coming up in Mighty House. I'll be back next week. Thank you, Leah Petrusiak.
Thank you.
And as Heather Fry would say, go green or go home.